Y'all have worked long and hard. You did good. You drowned my bad voice out, so I thank y'all so much. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand clap of praise. You know, last night, Pete Cavasso came in the office, and Pete prayed with me. I had all my notes put together. Well, I don't have them today. We're going to let God speak in this house today. Amen? Amen. You know, one of the great things about what God has done in the life of this church is new beginnings. And I need my... Michael Liga, how are you? This is Michael Liga. He's pastor of the Philippine church here in town. What a blessing to have you here. Amen. Amen. We talk about new beginnings. And, you know, one of the things about new beginnings is to maintain. Amen. You know, I laughed last night as I was kind of going through and taking all my notes off the PowerPoint that I did. And I stand in front of you today, Pam and I both do, because of Mike and Cindy Hall. They were going to an Assembly of God church years ago. They invited us on Easter, I believe. And, you know, Pam and I got there, and we're used to very, you know, quiet churches. And, you know, they had a band. They had all that kind of stuff going on. And then in the midst of this, someone spoke in tongues, and I'm telling you, scared in all my life. But, you know, where God had took us from there, God has taken us here. And what we did there was preparation for what we're doing here. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. Now, I got to tell you, it was easy. I prayed to receive Christ on September 12, 1990. Pam and I got married, and God said to me one day, driving down the street, there was a Baptist church. He said, pull in. And I pulled in the church. I prayed to receive Christ on that day. I was drinking a lot. My life was a mess. It needed a new beginning. I knew nothing about new beginnings. But on that day, God gave me a new beginning that has brought us here today. Now, what I didn't understand, and what Pam and I both, last night we drank oatmeal like any old man should do, drinking my hot tea, holding my dog, going over my sermon notes, and I hear kaboom, hallway. She had slipped and fallen. And I know what Satan was attempting to do. But no weapon formed against this church will ever prosper again. Now, what the Bible tells us, and it says in Luke, and he was saying to them, if any one of us in this room wishes to come after Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that we must deny ourselves. And we have, one of the great things about that is that we all want to follow the Lord. But here's what we don't understand in the midst of this. That passage literally means that you will sign a death certificate, that you will die to flesh, and you will live by the Spirit from this day forward. Now, I'm telling you that it's easy to pray to receive Christ. But it is hard to maintain the relationship that our God wants to have with us. He did not build this church so that everybody here would deny themselves and go out into the world and start a new beginning. Probably a good place to pray, Mike. But, you know, I thought when we got into the ministry that ministry would be this kind of kumbaya, you know, everything's great, everything's rosy. Boy, was I wrong. You know, the end of that book had not been written. But what is important for us and for everyone here to understand that what we will accomplish in the walls of this building, man will not like. Because man is influenced by the evil one. And the Bible says, over to the courts, they will scourge you in the synagogues. They will even be brought, or you will even be brought, it said, to the governors and the kings for Jesus' sake. And it says, as a testimony. But see, our testimony is bigger than any testimony that man wants to give. Our testimony is wrought and bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And our testimony will stand tall in the front of any man at all. Now, the challenge for you and me, it is hard, church, to maintain. Now, Jeremiah 29:11. I really thought that this has brought so much. Oh, the plan a minute ago, that was something that we have wanted for 20 years. And God brought it to fruition today. Give him a hand clap of praise. But he says, I know the plans, and it wasn't a statement, church. It was a declaration where he declared he knew the plans. And the plans that he has given us is for welfare. It is not for calamity, and it is not for destruction. There's not a person in this room that doesn't need it, but there needs to be a new beginning. There needs to be a new renewal. There needs to be a new focus. There needs to be a deeper walk. There needs to be something that you've never had before, and you're only going to get it from the Holy Spirit. Now the Bible tells us, be of sober spirit. Do not think that Satan doesn't know who in this building needs a new beginning. But Scripture says, be of sober spirit. But it says, be on the alert for one reason. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like seeking new beginnings. He hates that you guys got up there today and praised the Lord. He hates your ability. But you know, it doesn't make any difference what he hates. The great thing about it is what God brought and what God wrought through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we will be victors in this house. God has turned people from victims to victors on this new beginning day in the name of Jesus. Amen. That I was excited. And I'll never forget the day that I went and I talked to one of the pastors and said, you know, I know that God has called me to the ministry. You know what was brought up? Not congratulations, Keith. Praise God. What was brought up was my past. See, they were over there digging it up going, yeah, but Keith, you used to, you know, your past is bad. And I went, yeah, pretty well it was. And then it said that you're an alcoholic. And I said, and we went through all this kind of stuff to the point that almost it's like, why even continue? And I sat down at the altar and I said, Lord, and someone asked me, what you want me to do, make it happen. And I got to go preach the first time at Star Hope. Next Sunday, I got down and it says, Lord, if you want me to do it, and I know the Lord's going, how many times do you want me to tell you what I want you to do? And I went to Pam, and Pam says, no, teach Sunday school. She said, no, I don't want, I didn't marry a pastor, I married a police officer. And the first time that I gave her the papers to fill out for me to go to seminary, what am I going to be accepted? And I went, what in the world? But it wasn't the time. It wasn't time for the new beginning to happen. And then the second time when Pam and I sat down and the pastor who said it would never happen called us into his office. It's a new beginning for Pam and I. She says she doesn't remember, but our pastor back then was kind of a no-nonsense kind of guy. And he sat down and he said, Pam, what do you think? This time Pam said, I didn't think that Keith was. But then she returned, but she sang. And when she filled out the papers for the seminary, I got accepted that time. You know, my education, I didn't have, my mama said, now it took me 11 years to get my degree and to get out of seminary. Thank God they didn't put a time limit on it, okay? But since then, God has allowed me, and this is not praise for me, it is praise for God. But God has allowed me to get a master's degree when people said that I couldn't do it, and I'm currently getting my doctorate's degree because of my God and what God is capable to do. And if God can work with an old man like me, he can work with anybody in this room to have a new beginning in their life. Give God a hand. You know, Mike and Cindy helped us crank this church up, and one of the things everybody told me is said, you got to understand, 80% of church plants fail. 80% of churches won't last 4 years. But 20 years later, God has still got this church where he wants it to be. Amen. Amen. The great thing about, I'm telling you, it is so awesome to see, because this is what heaven's going to look like. Amen. And that's what heaven's going to hard to maintain. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians that he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Everybody in this room, if you're sitting today and you're a born-again believer, you have been called by God to do something great and wonderful for the kingdom's good. Amen. Amen. Now, what's important is why. And it says service to the building up of the body of Christ. See, Satan is trying to tear Christianity down. The Christian people have lowered their standard to meet their standard versus rising up to meet God's standards. And I got to tell you that New Harvest Christian Church is on the rise. It's a new beginning for this church. And we are not going down. We're going up to the high places that our God has given to you and me. When people knew my past and people said, Keith, I don't want to be a part. I know who you used to be. And it's not really that. One of the pastors in town came to me and he said, you know, he said, I just can't be a part. He said, I don't want to bring you back to the church because I know what that will stir up. He didn't think about what I am. See, mankind doesn't think about who you are today. Okay? I'm not an alcoholic. I used to be an alcoholic, but I'm a brand new, spirit-filled Christian today because of what our Lord has done. But if you have prayed to receive Christ, you have a new beginning. You are a new person. You're anointed by God. You are spirit-filled. You are a supernatural individual who's going to do supernatural things for the cause of Christ. Never, never let someone drag you back where you were. Always stay focused on God and hold his hand. He didn't say it'd be easy, but he said we're going to get to the other side. But it said, enlarge the place of your tents. Stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Lengthen your cord and your descendants and all who will possess the nations, and we will resettle the desolate city. Can you imagine what we could do if everybody in this room was willing to start a new beginning? Do you imagine who we could touch for the cause of Christ? If everybody in this room took it serious? See, we're in a life and death situation today. If people don't hear about Christ, a socialist world, they want to make it a communistic world, but we are a Christian world if Christians will take a stand and go, I am tired of it, I want a new beginning. Well, when we began this process, there were some that said, you can't do it, it never will. And I got to agree with them, we couldn't. But we're not the ones that are doing it. God is the one that built this sanctuary. God is the ones that have chosen you. And God, Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father. Now, you know the story. Abraham's been called by God to sacrifice his son. He said, Daddy, there's the burnt offering. And Abraham said, God will provide. Amen. And I got to tell you, the last statement is so important for this church. So they walked together. You know, everything's changed in this church. The way we're doing music, the way we sit, the way we think, the way we dress. And I pray, God, the way we act. I pray that we will embrace the Spirit. I pray that we will not be afraid of the Holy Mighty. And He has left with you and me the Holy Spirit. And we need to embrace Him so that He can take us where He wants us to go. When did God provide the sacrifice for Isaac? From the very beginning of time. You know, when Abraham was walking up there with his son, he knew that God would provide. In church, you and I, it's easy to obtain, it's hard to maintain. God will provide. And you and I need to get excited about what God is going to do in life for this new church. From the very beginning of the day that this church opened up, God made the provisions. Has the stained glass window that was in the other building. She's the one that said, I want to do this, but she says, I want a piece of stained glass. And I said, Miss Francis, you're welcome to do whatever you want. We're in a business meeting, and Miss Francis says to me, she said, Pastor Keith, we need more property. And I said to her, but we need more money. We don't have it. So all of a sudden, she says, I tell you what. Let me get back with you. 2 days later, the phone rings. She said, would you meet me at the bank? So I met the church next to the church, and I want to donate it to the church. It was $87,500 is what she gave to this church back in 1999. Didn't think too much about it then. It was a gracious offer. We have 10 acres. It was wonderful. But Cindy, here, I talked to Deirdre. What I didn't know is Genevieve Allen, which was the niece, and David and Deirdre were a part of our church. And I don't know how old Genevieve was back then. But she took money out of her, eight, nine, whatever, took money out of her trust and gave this church $5,000, and he turned that $1 million. Amen. Now, people might say, you and I can't, and I agree with them. We can't, but when God is in the picture, you can do whatever God has asked you to do. Everybody here has been called. There are preachers in this room. There are teachers in this room today. There are prophets and evangelists in this room today. And God has called all of you, and you need to find what God has asked you to do, because I'm telling you, now it is difficult and hard to maintain. There are 300 seats in this sanctuary, and there are people standing up and people outside. But I got to tell you, if everybody here made one disciple, if you walked out of this building today to go, I want to make a new beginning, you could change the life of a person. You could bring them in this sanctuary. They could meet Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They'd have a new beginning, and their life would change. But it's up to you, church. Amen. It doesn't make sense that Keith Anderson is a pastor. You know, our families laughed about this guy in the classroom. Just didn't make sense. But see, what I found out, a lot of you are going to be just like me. Well, God can't. No, God can and wants to, because he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. He said, my ways are not your ways, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, he said, my ways are higher than yours. See, we need to let go, church, and we need to let God. And if God wants to take you, you need to hold his hand and go wherever he wants you. A little one, because I got too many words on it. The glasses don't work, so I'm going to read it on the big one, so I'm not trying to not look at you, okay? But it says, because of the foolishness of God, it says that he's wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For consider your calling, and that's what I ask you to do today. Consider the calling that God has put on your life. It says that they were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God in the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things, the pastor, and they would have been right. But see, it's a but God situation. God took my nothing and turned my nothing into something. As we go forward in this church, as everybody begins a new beginning, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And in all of your ways, not some of them, but in all of your ways, straight. Give God a hand clap of praise. In Psalms 112, it says, praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commands. When the naysayer said, Keith, you couldn't, I said, God said, I can. When the naysayer said, you can't build the building, I said, God said, we would. When the naysayer said, you already do. And God is the one that has taken us to where we are today. And we need to praise him. Well, some of you go, how do I? He says, but you will receive power. That's a miraculous power, church, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be a witness. Well, why are we to be a witness? So that people could see the power of God. We talk about God. Churches talk about God, but nothing happens in the church. God said this morning that this would be a place of healing. And I promise you that it is already a place of healing. Physically and spiritually, who's going to bring them if you don't? In Genesis, Isaac spoke to his dad again. And he said, Dad, he said, where's the sacrifice? But I got to tell you this, church, for Abraham to find his provision, Abraham was required to put action to his words. See, if Abraham would have never had the faith to walk up that mountain, we're going to stay right where we are. But I promise you that God's not going to allow us to stay right where we are. Took his son. God was going to provide. But for Abraham to find the provision, it required action on his part, and it requires action on our part. We have to have a new beginning. And God's going to ask you to do things that are going to take you outside your box. But trust not on your own understanding. God had the power to free his people out of Egypt. God had the power to take his children across the Red Sea. He had the power to close the mouth of the lion that was supposedly going to eat up Daniel. God always uses people to create the miraculous, and he wants to use you to create what he wants to do. Now, church, John says, do you not say that there are 4 months and then comes the harvest? He says, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes. When you leave this worshiping with us today, because we mean it, we thank you for coming today. Amen. Amen. Lift up your eyes. Harvest. God built our church for one reason, and that's to start a new beginning. Is it raining? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll just keep on preaching. Amen. Amen. Well, we have new grass. It has to be watered. I mean, you know, it's okay. But anyhow, God still has the power, church, and God is still looking for people today who are willing to be used by him. People who are willing to set the people free, help people, life to help the Daniels, because there's a lot of Daniels in the lion's dens, and honestly, God's power is available to us today, but it will take action on our part to create what God wants us to do. Now, in John 14:12, Scripture says, truly, truly, I say to you, church, listen to this passage, but truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, do we believe in God? We sang a song a little while ago. I hope it wasn't lip service. But do we believe in God? Because it says, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than he for New Harvest. Satan doesn't like it. Oh, church, but God planned it. Now it's up for you and me to fulfill what God is doing. Tonight in the life of this church. Some of you I know, and some of you I don't know. But the Bible is so clear that if you will confess Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then the Bible says you will be saved. Now, I'm going to ask that everybody close their eyes. Ask that you bow your heads. Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to ask you the most important question that will ever be asked in your life. In your life, that you would be in heaven with the Lord. If you can answer that, then praise God. But some of you in this room might go, Pastor, I don't know. When I was asked that question in 1990, I didn't know. I'm going to ask you, if you don't know, if you would say, Pastor, I just don't know, would you have the boldness, no one's looking, everybody's eyes are closed, just to raise your hand and go past this building? Anybody here? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Ones that are raising their hand created specifically for you. This church allowed us to share Christ with you so that today could be a new beginning for your life. You could be the next pastor, the prophet, the next evangelist. But what I want you to do is say this prayer to yourself. Lord Jesus Christ, today where I sit, I ask that you come into my life and make me a brand new person. I confess that you are my Lord, and I believe you're saving me today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Would y'all come up here? Would both of y'all come up here by this old man? Here's the great thing about it. You know, we look at what God has done in the life of this church. Amen. Amen. And it's all about them is why we're here today. And here are two children that had the boldness about accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. Praise God. I am proud of both of you. Put my hands up for prayer. Now, here's what I want to do today. If there is anybody in this room that has any issue at all, our prayer partners are going to be up here. We are going to pray for you. The Spirit of God is in this building. And I have asked and I prayed, Holy Spirit, be up here. We will pray with you and we will pray for you. So Pastor D is going to begin to play. Prayer partners, you come up. I'm going to ask the church to stand if people can get out of their chairs to come up and pray. But oh, we've got so much to praise God about today.